Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I can't continue until I hear it.
You can't start.
I am doing question mark, right. Millennial Ben.
Thank you.
This one is from Tanner in Laramie, Wyoming.
Ooh, Tanner, Laramie.
And I'm specifically going to have you address this question because there have been other shows that have made some claims that I've ignored up until this point, but I can do so no longer.
Okay.
Mark, how does Canada being the hub for hockey return How does Canada being the hub for hockey return affect how the Avalanche will do in the playoffs, if at all? I bring up the hockey question because I've been hearing all this back and forth between Sandy and Orlando and The Drive.
Uh-huh.
Who's the better hockey show? Please. I mean, you know, D-Mac talks about how, I worked with the Buffalo Sabres one year. I covered the Avalanche home and on the road throughout their entire run to a Stanley Cup championship. What have the Sabres ever done? The Sabres.
The Sabres, don't they?
I you know what bigger than the Sabres.
Do they have like a Buffalo head on with the...
their logo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they have the Sabres, right? The swords.
The what?
Swords.
Yeah, you said swords.
Swords. And the swats be with you.
Swats.
Like, why do they...
When they march down with their pitchforks and lanterns, they also bring their swads.
They bring their swads. They have the swads.
I like them swads.
How come they're the Sabres, but they have a buffalo head?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Why not just the Sabres?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't even want to go. You know what? We've been doing a lot of research this morning. We've learned about a lot of things. Actually, somebody said this has been one of your more educational shows.
Well, there you go. You're welcome.
What do you think? So it looks, by the way, in case folks haven't heard, it looks like the NHL is settling on Edmonton and Toronto as their hub cities for when they return.
Yeah, so Orlando now. Now, Orlando is from Canada, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was going to say...
he's from Toronto.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I come from Alaska, where hockey is really big, but I think I get trumped there by Orlando, being that he's from Canada.
Yeah, but Alaska has a lot of that Canadian feel to it.
It does. And hockey
like, I think of Alaska more as a Canadian state than, you know, more... or, well, not Canadian, but you know what I mean. It feels more Canadian than it feels American.
How much Russian does it feel to you?
Ooh.
Does it feel Russian?
Well, as somebody like myself that's a huge fan of Deadliest Catch, I mean,
right.
They're going head-to-head with Russia right
well,
now.
Well, Sarah
not
Palin
right
could,
now, but all last, right. all last
Sarah,
season.
Sarah Palin could see Russia from her porch step.
Yes, she could.
So.
I mean, they've been fighting. You know, the Bering Sea has been the battleground.
Yes.
For King Crab and Opelio.
Oh, what?
Opelio. You don't know Opelio? You're from
that's like
Alaska?
Is that like a whitefish?
No, it's a crab.
Oh, Opelio's?
Yeah,
a
they're
crab?
Crabbers.
Well, I know
you
that.
You want a fish? Or you want to f*** around?
They're getting king crab. I didn't know Opelio was a crab.
Yeah. Different kind of crab.
Not Ophelia.
Not Ophelia.
Opelio.
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 Opelio?
Yeah.
And he's just waiting to play it. I know he is.
I like these guys. These guys.
Opelio. Anyway.
Okay.
So... what about the question?
You
can I give
a,
you my opinion?
You have me a crab. I don't know. I don't even know what the question was anymore.
Let me answer the question.
Okay.
It makes no impact whatsoever. Okay. I think all hockey players, most hockey players, most hockey teams, there's sort of collective mindset that all hockey players have.
Uh huh.
So, okay. So if they were, let's say Vegas was the hub city.
Okay.
Then I think Avalanche players, Penguin players, Canadian players, Bruins players, I think they'd all kind of bring the same kind of professionalism slash, yeah, let's go out and you know, have a few pops, you know.
But that's what they.
But I think they all do the same thing. So I don't think that any team would be at a significant advantage or disadvantage wherever the hub city was.
No, I don't think the hub city has much effect on any. I mean, we talked about the playoffs in general, the fact that there are the teams that are actually like really playing to get in, and then there's the teams like the Avalanche who are just playing exhibition games. Like, I didn't like that.
Right. Now that's a factor that can be talked about.
But the fact that they're going to be in Edmonton and then the Eastern teams are going to be in Toronto, right? To me, that's not a factor.
I don't think that's a factor.
Everybody has to do with the same stuff.
I think it just comes down to whether it's Edmonton or Las Vegas or Toronto or wherever, is Philip Grubauer capable of carrying the Avalanche through to the Stanley Cup Finals? He's never been asked to be a number one goaltender. He's never been asked to carry that kind of a load. Can he do it? I mean, that to me is the biggest question. Do the Avalanche have enough? They have a lot of good offensive defensemen. Do they have enough shutdown defensemen to win the hard-fought, low-scoring, tightly contested, you know, playoff games? The good news is one of the questions I've had about the Avalanche for the last couple of years in the playoffs, they just don't have enough scoring depth beyond their top line. I think that has been addressed this year by Joe Sakic, and so I think that there's a lot more secondary scoring options, a lot more scoring depth that they'll have that will really come in handy, you know, during the long, hopefully a long run in the playoffs.
Right.
But those questions are going to be there no matter where they play.
I think
location doesn't matter.
I think the thing that has been interesting to me over the
Opelio is snow crab.
Opelio is snow crab. Oh, well, why didn't you say snow crab? You used its scientific name, Opelio.
But yeah, snow crab.
Yeah, I say when I think of Opelio, I think of like when my granddaughter goes, Bubba, will you Opelio that orange for me so I can have it? Right? I don't think about.
Anyway, get back to where you're
saying. Yeah. I think one of the things that's been interesting over the last couple of years is through their playoff, you know, through their playoff pushes in the last couple of years, I think there was always a question about the youth and the toughness. There's no question about the speed and athleticism, all that stuff. What I think they've done is they've shown that they can play that speed game, but they can also, I mean, they can also be physical enough to get into a battle with like a Nashville and hold their own and
yep.
do their thing. So,
yep.
And that was a question mark. Like that was a question mark a couple of years ago that I think has been answered to this point. So, I mean, I don't like the format from the standpoint of you're playing exhibition games with nothing on the line, and then you're going to go play a team that just fought to get in.
Exactly.
I don't like.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like that either. Who do you think? Now, if you want to talk about challenges for the athlete, then what the NBA is attempting to do, I think is legit. And you start to look at the makeup of teams. Okay, so the NBA, they're looking to do the bubble. It's a strict bubble. The NHL's got to have a hub city,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to quarantine their players. The players are still going to have some freedom to move around.
Right.
Major League Baseball, they're just, you know, they're traveling. They're mm-hmm. going to go from Colorado to L.A., and L.A.'s coming here. So there's, it's complete opposite is what the NBA is having, a strict bubble. And I'm wondering, Mark, try to get in the heads of these players, the mental grind. If you're playing in the NBA Finals, you're going to be in this environment for, what, 70 days?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be able to handle that? And that's going to be a key to a team's success.
Yeah.
Every much as we talk about talent and matchups and all those other things, just being able to handle the mental grind is going to be huge.
How much you'd like to be around each other?
Yeah.
How much do you get along? Like, I mean, think about it. You're going to be sequestered. You don't, I mean, it's not like you're looking at film all day. Like, football is a little bit different because there's so much tape to study. There's so much study involved. in football, that you can immerse yourself in game plans, you can immerse yourself in film study, and you can be so tied up during the week that, you know, that you have very limited time. It's like a full-time job. You know, you can be, as a player, you can roll in at 6 or 7, and you can roll out at 7 in the evening, with practices and stuff and film study. And I mean, that's a that could be a pretty typical day, so to speak. So, like it's I think there's more downtime probably if you're an NBA. I know they don't study like the tape as much, and they don't look at, there's just not as much to know, right? So you're going to have to, there's going to be a lot of time that you're going to be, you know, I'm sure they'll have some type of room, like almost a green room, you know, where you lounge and they've got.
Cause I know some people have in the never ending quest to try to pump up LeBron James, the case has been made for LeBron and the Lakers having an advantage in all this because LeBron is so uber focused that he'll keep everybody else focused. But I wonder if that could end up being a detriment. I wonder if it's more important just to be able to have a group of guys that get along well and can while away the hours over the days and maybe months and just be able to be loose, have fun, hang out. Is that more important than, you know, hey, stay focused? You know, I would think if you're trying to stay focused for 2.5 months, guys are going to crack.
Yeah, I think, I just think getting along, having things to do, I mean, come on. I think we all went a little bit crazy, stir crazy being at home, right? Haven't we all? I mean, I think you see that on social media every day. People are crazy.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden I feel guilty for people named, or I feel bad for people named Karen. I mean, Karen is out there in full force right
Karen's
now.
Getting a raw deal right now.
What if your name is Karen and you're not
a Karen?
Would you change your name?
Doesn't matter. People think you're a Karen.
I mean, that's when you start going by your middle name.
Why Karen, by the way?
I don't know.
We've been trying to figure out a lot of things today.
Yeah.
Why Karen? Seriously, I'm curious.
Right.
Anybody have any theories as to why it became
Is there anybody Karen? Named Karen out there? Text us. Because is there anybody named Karen right now that just is like, I'm using my middle name, I'm going by.
I'm not introducing myself as Karen.
Karen, yeah.
You're right. I don't know if I'm a well-behaved Karen,
right.
Well-adjusted Karen. I don't know if I want people to know that I'm named Karen. But how did it become Karen? Why Karen? Why couldn't it have been Julie?
By the way, what's
Janice or.
You know what you don't see? The male equivalent of Karen. What's his name? Ken? I mean, I don't ever see, look at Ken going crazy.
Right.
Although there's some crazy dudes out there.
Yeah, if anything, it's just, oh, he's a male Karen.
Right. But why didn't he have a name? Yeah, male Karen.
Yeah, what did Karen do to deserve his designation?
I don't know what she did. But I do feel kind of almost,
I'm genuinely curious about this.
Right. I feel bad for the Karens that aren't Karens. Just the Karens that are, you know, just happy-go-lucky. Where is happy-go-lucky Karen, and how has this affected her life?
So it's just as simple as one of the first incidents to go viral involves somebody named Karen?
Oh, I don't know.
And so it just became a thing?
That all people named Karen?
That all of these outbursts by a woman makes them a Karen? I feel bad for Karens.
I do, too. I do. I really do. Do you know any Karens off the top of your head?
Right off the top of my head?
Yeah.
No. Went to school with some Karens. High school, elementary school.
But you haven't kept up with them, so you don't know if they're crazy.
No. But the few Karens I did know, I don't think that they'd ever be a Karen.
I'm trying to think, do I know anybody named Karen? I can't, nobody jumps to the forefront of my mind.
Why Karen?
Yeah,
who cares?
I have no idea.
By the way, earlier in the show, we figured out the origin of kicking tires.
Right.
You came up brilliantly with the origin of don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right.
KW brings up a very good point. Is it just me, or have you ever really killed two birds with one stone? How long did it take, and how stupid must those birds be?
It's a great call. Where does killing two birds with one stone come from?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about in your neighborhood right now. I guess the birds are they mating right now? Because, like, my neighborhood, the birds are crazy. Birds are just buzzing all over the place, and they're making their nests, and
right.
It must be that time of the year, right? I mean, they're crazy. They're all over the place. I can't hit two birds with one stone. There are plenty of birds flying around, but how do you hit two birds with one stone?
How do you hit one bird with one stone?
Exactly.
That's why they invented shotguns.
Great point.
Right? You got to get a spray out there.
I'm just trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah. We've been figuring stuff out all day long.
We have been.
It's been amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, one of our listeners in Fort Collins, you guys are locked in today.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what we haven't done yet, though?
I know.
And we're well aware of it, so this is not going to slip through the cracks. But
no.
So today's a milestone day. We started the Paxton Lynch smear campaign years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this Gehrig-esque, Ripken-esque streak going right now.
Right.
Where we've been able to, without fail, find a way to smear Paxton Lynch every single day we're on. Mm-hmm. And the streak right now is at 2019. Today is a big day. It's 2020. But we don't want to just smear it just for the sake of smearing it. We want
right.
a good one.
Yeah.
And we just haven't gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten it. The listeners haven't
right.
gotten it. We just need help. Okay, we want you to come up with the 2020 smear day slogan. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043.
Yeah, we have not. We've had several opportunities, right?
Oh, yeah, people have tried, but not well.
And I threw something out there, but it wasn't
on
great.
Any other day, like day number 740 or mm-hmm. 1089.
Do you know how many?
Maybe even for 2021 or 2022, it would be fine, what you did earlier. But
right.
2020, uh-oh.
You know what's crazy about 2020? If you go back to April of 2016, when Paxton Lynch was drafted, which was 4 years ago. Only 1,400 days have passed. This is how bad he is. We're already up to 2,020 days
yeah.
of smearing.
Yeah. We kind of live in our own
yeah.
alternate time zone.
Right. Yeah. We're 600 days ahead of you people.
Exactly. We are so far ahead of things.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
It really is amazing.
Right.
Hey, don't try to think about it too much, okay?
You know,
just roll with it.
Let me just give you, like, I like to.
Guys, hold on, I got one. This one I like.
Okay, well, I've got one too.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first and then you either, or you, can you trumpet with that one?
Maybe,
or?
You go first.
Okay, because here's what I was thinking. It's just, you know, spitballing right off the top of my head. I always get up every morning and I do a devotional and I try to have intentional gratitude. So when I pray for the things that are right. Instead of focusing on all the things, all of us have things that are going on in our lives that aren't great, right? So I'm thankful for the stuff that is right, that's going great. You know, I have this intentional gratitude. And as bad as 2020 has been, because 2020 has been a monumental year, like it was just horrible.
Epic fail.
I don't know that it was as bad as Paxton Lynch.
Well, you know what?
That's positive.
Actually,
right?
you're, we're on to something
okay.
here.
Okay, all right.
Because this is starting to trend here. Yeah, guys, is it just me or is 2020 the year version of Paxton Lynch?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're on the
yeah.
same. I think that's
all right.
Yeah.
Paxton Marshawn Lynch was a year,
right,
it'd be 2020.
As bad as there 2020 has been,
yep,
people,
yep,
it's
yep,
not as bad as yep, is his three seasons here.
There we go.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, feels good.
Folks, you can say I was there when it happened.
Yep.
When the Paxton Lynch smear campaign got dragged out to 2020.
2020 on 2020.
And don't pay attention to the math. That just, don't worry about it.
Yeah, the math does not count
don't worry about it.
These scenarios.
Yeah. It's great. Just roll with it.
I feel really good.
That's right.
And
if Paxton Lynch was a year, it'd
right,
be 20, he'd be 2020.
Me and the texter yeah, are on the same yep, page, right?
Yep.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Took a while.
Right.
We had high standards for today, but you know what? I think they were met.
Yeah. And on Monday, we can just go back to, you know.
Yeah, just anything.
If his name comes up, it's a smear.
Right.
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 Or not if his name, when,
no,
his,
when
name
his name comes up.
It's a smear.
Because we're starting to find out that really there are so many things that happen in life that just compare to Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, we do get on Paxton a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Even Bolsey's sitting back going, oh, you guys are hard on Paxton Lynch.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
I mean, he's just fine. Look at the Pro Football Focus rating.
That's right.
You got no
That's
worries.
That's right.
There's no worries.
It's no worries. The folks at Pro Football Focus, they're on it.
Yeah.
They love themselves some bulls.
I mean, he is straight up, like, that's right out of Lion King. He is straight up Pumbaa. Right? Hakuna Matata.
Pumbaa? Hey,
Pumbaa.
Yeah, are you trying to get me on something?
No. Pumbaa. The warthog. Kuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
His name was Pumbaa?
Kuna Matata. Hey, no passing craze. Yeah.
Okay.
Means no worries, wasn't it? Pumbaa?
So we had a conversation. We were having a conversation here the other, one of the last breaks. Not that one, the other one.
Uh-huh.
And, did you know that this weekend is the 30-year anniversary of the release of Days of Thunder?
No, I did not. I did not know that.
And I was reading something on ESPN. They were talking about the making of Days of Thunder and how at the time a lot of people in NASCAR didn't like it because they just didn't think it was a fair representation of the sport. But it's grown in popularity over the years because the drivers today were all, you know, kids, teenagers when they watched it back and they loved it.
Uh-huh.
And so they love the movie now. And we were talking about some of the actors that were in the movie and the guy who played Wheeler in the movie was, and I was searching for it. I said, you know, the guy that was in the movie that we talk about all the time here on the show, you know, the Robin Hood character in DeHuff's like, you mean Robin Hood and Robin Hood Men in Tights? Like, I'm like, no, not the other one. And I couldn't think of it, and
right,
I felt so bad. The Princess Bride.
Yeah, that wasn't a Robin Hood movie, but yeah, I get what you're
you
saying.
Know what I mean?
Princess Bride was great.
Carrie Elwes? Elwes?
I love, by the way, I love that movie. I love The Princess Bride. It's a great movie.
But he was in it. I forgot about that.
Okay.
He played like one of the rival drivers for Cole Trickle.
Cole Trickle.
What a great name.
That is a good name.
That is a great name.
Cole Trickle. That is it. You're
Rubbin' like, Sun is Racing.
If you have a name like that, you're going to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
You need to think about that when you're naming your kid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Give your kid a break.
Yeah.
Put him ahead of the game. Give him a name like Cole Trickle.
Yeah, he's going to. Even if your name is like Smith, just name your kid Cole Trickle.
Why is everyone else last name Smith? Why is he Cole Trickle? Doesn't matter. It's cool.
Doesn't matter. It's a cool name.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Good.
All right. Well, Mark said last night he wanted to get loose today. I would consider that mission accomplished. It is a Is It Just Me Friday on this Wednesday, as we're going to be off Thursday and Friday, but a chance for you to have some fun with us as well as just get everything off the chest. If you have some hot sports takes, send those in as well. I've got some news that's going to make Mark's head explode. And it's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Sometimes my job, my role here is just too easy. So buckle in, Stank. Hey, DeHuff, you nearby? Can I get DeHuff on, please?
Hey, yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, welcome back.
Thank
to
you.
To work.
Thank you.
You know, we've had some fun over the last month or so.
Yeah.
Poking fun at you for your just, I mean, world class ability to avoid working.
I'm working from home.
Uh-huh.
Even when I got tested for COVID, which was negative, I was still working from home.
Mark, you want to take this?
HR, the huff and stuff. tested for COVID. I think you went to Doc McStuffins.
Shut up.
So, anyway, good to have you back, and I'm sure you're looking forward now to getting back into the grind and
you
know, just start stringing together a good long streak of productive work days, huh? Get ready, Stink.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm on vacation next week.
He is.
No.
He is. Can you believe him?
It's unreal.
I'm not joking.
He told me earlier, and I went, what? My jaw dropped. It looked like an old cartoon. He's on vacation next week.
Guys, when I'm not here, I'm working.
I tell you, he's the only producer in the country.
Yeah.
That's negotiated himself 17 weeks of vacation.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Is this the Dick and Dick show?
I had to bring that. I said, all right. He said, well, hey, good to be back. He goes, because your birthday's on Monday. Happy birthday. I go, your birthday's coming up. Oh, that's great. Yeah. He goes, yeah, I always take my birthday week off. I went, I stopped. I went, you're taking next week off? He goes, yeah. I take it off every week, every year.
How old?
Like, you're taking next week off.
How old are you, Duff? How old are you?
I'm 40.
But you still act
You're 40 now, or you're turning 40?
I'm 40 now.
Oh, okay.
But you take your birthday week off. You're like a 20-year-old.
No.
For four nights in a row to celebrate their birthday.
No, I don't drink.
I'm just saying, but you're taking a week, your birthday week off.
It's 4th of July type week, so we always take it off, and we always go to the mountains or some crap like that.
I'll have a teeth having.
Which I hate going to the mountains. I'm trying to convince my wife not to go.
Right. I mean.
But you're taking next week off.
You'd rather be grinding.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Man, oh, man.
It's just great.
I don't understand what the big deal is.
I've been here like 22 years, and your ability to avoid work is I'm in awe. I really am. I'm truly in awe.
When I'm at home, I'm, we're doing the show. Then after we're done with the show, I'm a blogger now at 1043thefan.com. Not a columnist.
Uh-huh.
Not quite there to the Mike Evans, level yet. I do videos that are amazing. I think this week we did a binge-worthy on, what's his name? God.
Yeah.
Dang it. Anyway, somebody important. Bill Murray.
Yo. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm busy. I'm staying
so
busy.
So Dexter says, is it just me or is DeHuff the Paxton Lynch of producers?
Oh, wow.
Suck.
Wow.
Who said that one? Was that from Dick? Dick, thanks for the text. Way to go.
When Doc McStuffin tested you for COVID, Like, how did that test? Did they do your reflexes on your knee and going up your
leg? Using the whole fist stock?
I will tell you, I was not ready for the probing.
Yes, yes.
The deep probe.
Yes.
For COVID was not fun.
Okay.
They went all the way in.
Oh, man.
Twice.
Mm. Oh, okay.
All right.
So
I'm exhausted.
Listen. Glad to have you back for a day.
For one day.
Soak me up, guys. I am headed for the door.
Unbelievable.
I respect it.
I do.
I respect it.
It's almost now crossed over to like awe. I'm just in awe.
Like how?
But yeah.
It's beautiful.
I've been thinking about it a lot.
I have been. It's amazing. It truly is amazing.
I am legend.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to some more Is It Just Me's. This one comes in. We heard from Jake Plummer throughout the course of the show. He was on with Nick and Cecil last night.
Oh, yeah.
Texter says, is it just me, but if Drew Locke turned out to be similar to Jake Plummer, would we not take that as Bronco fans? Interesting question.
Yeah, would we take it?
Would we?
Sure.
Jake Plummer was 39-12 here as a starter.
39-12?
Yeah. Wait a minute, hold on. I think it's 39-20. I'm sorry.
39-20.
But still, 30, I mean, he won basically twice as much as he lost. Went to an AFC championship game.
Yes.
Lost it. But had a good run here. Would we take that?
Absolutely.
Would we?
Absolutely. You wouldn't take that?
No.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
Because Jake Plummer isn't going to beat Patrick Mahomes year in, year out for the next 15 years. Jake Plummer was a good quarterback. He really was. He was a very good quarterback.
Sure.
In his time here with the Broncos, actually, I'm sorry, he was 39-15 as a starter with the Broncos.
39-15. I'd take that. You give me that right now, I'd take it. Well, listen.
All right, hold on a second. Let me amend that. If you're telling me over the next 4 years as a starter for the Denver Broncos, Drew Locke goes 39-15, sign me up.
Yes.
Okay, sign me up. That's an average. That is what? That's you're averaging 10 wins a year. Sign me up. But does Jake Plummer go head-to-head and beat, more often than not, get his fair share of head-to-head wins over Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Okay, then that's not enough, then.
No, wrong. You're wrong. You name me one quarterback that's going to go head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes and win as much as he loses.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What's the goal here? If Patrick Mahomes is what we think he's going to be for the next 12 to 15 years,
right?
Then what, you're just going to concede the AFC West year in, year out to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? Or you're going to find somebody that can go head-to-head with them?
Your quarterback can go head-to-head. You're going to have to develop a better team. You're not – like, your quarterback isn't going – you're not saying – like, this is the whole problem with – wow, look at all the weapons that we have, you know, the national perspective. Look at all the weapons. It's weapons. It's not – you're not going head-to-head, weapon for weapon, with Kansas City and winning when that dude over there is a unicorn. Like, that dude is so damn good. Like, my thing is, you're going to have a quarterback that can compete with that, i.e. a Jake Plummer, and then build enough of a team, enough, you know, like with your defense and everything else, to where you can win.
So you think that you can build a team for the next 12 to 15 years that's going to be able to match up just about every single year with a good quarterback?
No, you need a great quarterback. Okay, here's where you're wrong. Here's where you're wrong. You're basically saying you need to find a Patrick Mahomes.
But I'm going to have to find an elite quarterback.
But Mike, how many elite?
Okay, here's what I'm saying. I know I'm not going to be able to get Mahomes in all likelihood, but you better find me. You better find yourself your version of of Russell Wilson, or I'll even say Philip Rivers.
Russell Wilson's elite. What I'm telling you, Mike.
Andrew Luck.
What you're doing is you're finding your Matt Ryan, and then you're gonna have to build enough of a good team around him.
Okay. I'll tell you, all right. That's not a bad comparison. I'll take Matt Ryan.
Okay, but my point is this. Is you're not finding a quarterback that's going to go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. That is, you're not going to find that. You're not.
Okay, but you wouldn't say that Jake Plummer's Matt Ryan, would you?
39
Matt Ryan's better than Jake Plummer, right?
39-15. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is you're going to have to build a football. If you think you're going to find, you're just going to thumb through the waters and you're going to find yourself like all of a sudden, Mahomes is going to be, or excuse me, all of a sudden, Drew Locke is going to become Aaron Rodgers. I think you're fooling yourself.
Okay, I want you to think about this. Who does he have to be at least close to?
I think he has got to be.
Give me a name.
I think if you look at the Matt Ryans of the world, if you look at guys that give you a chance to win every Sunday that are that good, if you put the right pieces around, like Matt Ryan, nobody's going to say Matt Ryan can go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. Like you're going to have to get, what I'm saying is the odds of you finding Russell Wilson or Drew Luck becoming a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, just that talented of a guy, probably not good.
But what's the likelihood, and I want you to answer this on the other side, what is the likelihood that you're going to be able to build that kind of team year in, year out, and still be able to go head-to-head with just a good quarterback? And Jake Plummer was a good quarterback.
Okay.
He wasn't a great quarterback. He was a really good quarterback. Right. And I hope nobody takes this as a slight. He was a good. I think Jake Plummer got an unfair deal while he was playing. It's like as the years have gone by, people have looked back more favorably on Jake's time here. But Jake was a good quarterback. I just want to know if you can actually do that year after year, just build a really good football team and compete against Mahomes with a good quarterback. We'll talk more about that next. So got talking about this idea. Jake Plummer was on yesterday with Nick and Cecil. Check out their show, by the way, at night. They do a great job. They have a lot of fun. Great guests. And so the question is, would you be satisfied, Bronco Country, if Drew Locke turned out to be Jake Plummer? And before you say, no. Jake Plummer was 39-15 here as a starter.
Right.
I think a lot of people forget that. But my point, Mark, is that, and I love Jake. I thought Jake got a raw deal while he was here. Because he was compared to Elway.
Uh-huh.
And even with the Broncos being down for these last 4 years, there's still a certain standard that folks around here have when it comes to quarterback play. They know what great quarterback play looks like. We're one of the lucky football cities. We know what great quarterback play looks like, having been blessed with Elway and Peyton Manning. So Plummer was good, but is good going to get it done if Mahomes is what we all think he is, and he's going to be doing this for the next 12 to 15 years? Will simply having a good quarterback be good enough?
My point is this, is that the odds of you getting somebody, like the odds of Drew Locke becoming one of, we always talk about the elite guys, right? The elite guys, there's four or five of them in the league. The odds of you becoming that are probably not great. But can you win with the second tier guys? Can you have a chance to compete on a yearly basis with your Matt Ryans? You know, with guys like that? Absolutely, you've got a chance. but you've got to have a complete team. And a complete team is a cyclical thing, Mike. There's going to be a window. Like, hey, the Baltimore Ravens, they're not going to win that division every year, but they're going to have a complete team. And occasionally, they're always going to be competitive. And they're going to win, you know, they're going to win their division. You know, they're going to trade off a little bit. So my thought process is this. Like, the odds of you getting the next Mahomes or Drew Lock becoming the next Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Mahomes is probably not good. But certainly I think you can be in that next tier of quarterbacks where you can win 10, 11 games a year.
Wow, see, listen to what you're saying, though. This was the mindset that people had for years in Miami, Buffalo, and New York. Well, listen, we're not going to be able to find our Brady, but, you know, we'll find another way to do it. And except for just a brief little flash there with the Jets and Mark Sanchez, I mean, that was the Jets model.
Right.
Hey, we're going to have a decent quarterback, maybe a good quarterback, but we're going to have a really good team around him.
But Mark
Sanchez. That was just a
right.
Quick
but Mark
little...
Sanchez, you can't say Mark Sanchez, you can't compare Mark Sanchez to that second tier of quarter, that Matt Ryan type of tier of quarterbacks. Like Mark Sanchez, no. Like if Drew Lock becomes Mark Sanchez, we're in trouble. Like you're in trouble. So you've got to have that second tier type of quarterback. Can Drew Lock become Deshaun Watson? Can he have that kind of impact? Can he have, you know, can he have that let's call it that Andrew Luck. Now Andrew Luck got beat up a little
right.
bit. We thought he was going to be that upper echelon, but he never was because he got so beat up. So can he be that guy? Can he be an Alex Smith that can win you 11 games a year?
And you need more than that.
Well, yeah, you've got to have a better team. Remember when the Broncos in 2013 set all kinds of NFL records for offense? What happened when they got to the Super Bowl against a complete team with a young quarterback
right.
who was not a upper echelon elite guy yet? They got throttled.
Well,
what happened when they had a more complete team with a quarterback who could just get them in the right play? They ended up winning. Now, albeit one of the great defenses we've ever seen, but you know what I'm saying. So I think the model, if you're thinking, hey, the model is find yourself Patrick Mahomes, I think you're crazy.
Okay, fine. I know you're not going to be able to find your Mahomes. You're going to have to find another way. But I think you're going to have to raise the bar, set the bar higher than Jake Plummer. Because, okay, take his best year, 2005. They went 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, you talk about building a really good – I mean, that defense was phenomenal, right? I mean, who was the defensive coordinator?
Was it Larry Coyer?
Yeah, Coyer. And they blitzed from everywhere, remember?
Right.
I mean, and they ran the football. I mean, that was a – really good team built around a good quarterback. Exactly the kind of formula
right.
you're saying the Broncos might have to develop. They had that for that 1 year. And then they ran up against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. Those blitzes couldn't get home against that Pittsburgh offensive line. And the game was put on Jake Plummer's shoulders. And he wasn't capable of lifting the team. So... But that was only for 1 year.
Right.
They had that kind of team around that kind of quarterback for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that if we're right about Mahomes and this guy is going to be a major thorn in your side for the next 12 to 15 years, I think you got to do better than Jake Plummer. Drew Lock has to be better than Jake Plummer.
Well, that's fine. I don't think Jake Plummer was ever considered the next level. Like if you're saying tier one, right? Let's say tier one and then our elite, then tier one and then tier two quarterbacks, right?
Right.
So there's three or four elite guys and then there's the tier one quarterbacks. Jake Plummer was never in that tier. He was in the tier two quarterbacks, good starters. But he wasn't in, he wasn't, like, if you start looking at, if you start breaking it down like that, you've got Mahomes, Rodgers, and Wilson, let's say, are the elite level guys,
right?
And then you've got the tier one quarterbacks, right? That's where you're talking about Matt Ryan. That's where you're potentially talking about, like now older Tom Brady or older Drew Brees, right?
Or maybe Jared Goff from 2 years ago.
Right. So that's where you're getting into. You're getting into that world.
Carson Wentz.
Right. And you've got to, like, you, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Right. So you've got a chance. You got a chance to, like, you've got to have a good team around those guys.
But even Garoppolo, if we're doing this show in San Francisco right now, and we're talking about the prospects of, hey, can the 49ers get back to a Super Bowl and beat Kansas City? Guess what? We're both agreeing. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to be a heck of a lot better.
Either that or play the coverage that was called on third down and 15 and you win that game. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people want to point the finger at Kyle Shanahan and say, wow, he called a great game. They didn't execute. And they didn't execute on the offensive side of the ball. I'll give him that. Jimmy Garoppolo did not execute down the stretch the way he needed to execute down the stretch. He missed a couple of throws that were big time throws that kept drives alive that would have ended up eating up enough clock. Wow.
Oof.
Gosh, that was a lot. That's a lot of alliteration.
A lot of ups there.
Yeah. You know, it was a great song, Up, Up and Away, in my beautiful balloon. Anywho, there were, they would have eaten up that clock, Mike. You would have run out. I think Kansas City probably would have run. Well, you say that, but Mahomes is, he's magic.
Yep.
You can do magic.
All right, well, listen, we're off for the 4th of July long, long weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have fun. Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back again Monday morning without the Huff, who's going on vacation.
Yeah, that guy needs a break. He needs a break.
He's exhausted.
Oh, my God.
Back for one day, exhausted.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm even wondering, was that actually the Huff here today, or was that like a hologram?
Yeah, well, it could have been.
Was he really here? Was
it a cardboard cutout? I don't know. I don't know.
All right, let's turn it over to...
Take care of that throat, Huff.
Let's turn it over to Sandy and the Big O next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now next. It's Sandy and the Big O. Ladies on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.